the FSH Society is the largest grassroots network of FSHD patients, their families, and research activists. The FSH Society offers a community of support, news, and information for the millions of men, women, and children affected by FSHD worldwide. This is FSH Society Radio.
Society Radio Show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for spending the time here on another episode of FSH Society Radio. So thank you for joining us. We're here on a Facebook Live. It is, if we're on the air, that means it's the last Wednesday of the month. We have a special time again this month where we're starting the show at 9 Central, 10 East, I guess that makes that right. So a little bit later because, well, you know, I'm this baseball coach guy as well as a father and husband and et cetera, all the hats that I wear, like so many of you do as well. And we had a game tonight. So I wanted to definitely not miss the show, so we kind of push it back a little bit, and here we are. So I'm so glad to be here, so glad to join us, join you guys all as you peek in to the Rec Room Studio, as I call it, for the FSH Society Radio Show. Got a great guest in store this episode. She is Sue Allmiller. She is from Columbus, Ohio area. She runs the Columbus, Ohio chapter. She is the director there. She's had successful FSH Society walk-in roles. We're going to talk to her about that, along with just, like I love to do, is when I bring these guests in, is really talk about their lives and a little bit of how the FSH Society, you know, intertwines with that, as well as their FSH story, really. And I'm excited to hear. I'm very excited to hear hers. So we have her as our featured guest tonight. So very excited for that. June Kinoshita, I believe, is going to join us on the second half or the last segment, probably to go over maybe some news notes, things that are going around in the FSH Society world. Yeah, so we got a lot of that going on. In fact, I think actually the FSH Society episode here, as they put it, is lemonade recipes is how they kind of tagged it for this. I think making, you know, when you get lemons, you make lemonade. And we'll talk to Sue about that, about, I guess, her living that, right? And how has she done that? How has she overcome? And really excited to hear her perspective. Now, there's been past guests that I've had on the show where I've shared with them and with you that, you know, it's sometimes, you know, I find myself where I think I'm a little bit of a better person since diagnosed with FSHD because it's made me a little more aware, definitely, I think more aware of that everybody has something that they deal with. It's also taken this hobby of mine that I used to do a long time ago of this podcast stuff for entertainment. And I think unbeknownst to me, I think I was working out the kinks back then and trying to make this show, once I, you know, my life directed me this way, to make this show my main purpose and to bring this each month to you, to have it to be a place where you could come and share either with our guests or other people. For instance, Ann Williams, she says, good evening from Alabama. Hello. I'm sure it's warmer there than here in Wisconsin, so welcome. So bring people like Ann in to Facebook Live as we've developed the show into a live, you know, broadcasting event. And I feel that this is something I love to do. You know, I love to be on podcasts or on air. A lot of fun for me. There's always this thing. I heard another fellow radio host out there. His name is Ken Coleman. Look him up. Ken Coleman. Great guy, great show that he has. And I've gotten his book, actually. I'm really into this guy lately. And he talks about, you know, finding your sweet spot, you know, finding that thing that you really love to do, you know. There we go. That's a little better. And, you know, using it as a tool in your life to not only do something with it, maybe even make money from it, right? And I guess in my little part today in this segment, I usually say, like, my monologue piece when I go through my notes. Stacy Lehigh from Washington State. Hello, Stacy. How are you doing? Thanks for joining us. I think I'm trying to find my sweet spot, you know, so, and I think I'm trying to find that thing in my life to redirect. I mean, my job is fine and this and that, but it's not this. It's not bringing people together. It's not sending a message. It's not talking about, positivity, transforming something like Sue will probably talk about today, your lemons into lemonade. And that's something that I've recently have decided that this is something I want to do more of, right? And how do I do that? So if you happen to have XM Radio, I guess I'm going to self-plug this a little bit. And I talked about that guy, Ken Coleman. Look him up. He's really big on helping people find their purpose, find their sweet spot, what they can do. So I'm shamelessly plugging his show. But I am scheduled to be on his live radio show tomorrow at 1:30 Central on XM Radio. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We'll talk a little bit about, I'm definitely going to plug this show and all of us FSH people and what this is about. I'm going to definitely sneak that in so he's aware of it. But we're going to talk a little bit about myself. You know, how do I turn this passion into something all the time, right? And I guess I challenge all of you listening, if you can do that too, what is that thing? What is that part of your life that you're so good at? The thing you do so well, you know, are you making that your living? Is that something that is your sweet spot that you're doing, right? And I've challenged myself to kind of do that. And I think within that comes happiness, because this FSHD thing was definitely a big pile of lemons. It was crappy when I got the news 3.5 years ago, like many of you, when your diagnosis day hit, and what do? And all you get handed is no cure and no treatment. Those are two things you don't want to hear together. It feels hopeless. And now what? And in finding the FSH Society for myself and then turning this hobby into something I really love to do and then joining those worlds together, trying to help, I think this is definitely, you know, aiming towards my sweet spot. So I'll be on the Ken Coleman show tomorrow if you want to find on your XM dial. I have no idea what station. You know, it's on the Dave Ramsey network, whatever, you know, the Dave Ramsey guru, money guru guy. So I'm excited. I think that'll be fun. And of course, I guess we're going to plug the FSH Society radio show out there. So we are going to reach into the XM radio world. I think that's going to be fun. Yeah. We have so many things going on before I go to break. I kind of wanted to touch a little bit, we're going to go out of turn. And I wanted to talk a little bit about things that are coming up in FSH Society before we take our break and then bring Sue in, because there's so many things happening. It looks like soon as the weather turns nice and, you know, June hits, things are really popping. So I wanted to get some of those in now, and we can finish the show with some of them when June dials in. So on May 29th, FSH Society Radio Show, that's today, right? That's the big thing. Then on June 2nd, Western Pennsylvania Chapter Meeting. That's going to be from 2 to 4 p.m. on Sunday, June 2nd. June 6th, FSHD Connecticut Connections, Thursday, June 6th, that's 7 to 8:30 p.m. June 8th, Cassie Lorello Memorial Run and Walk, Fisher's Pine Lake in Jefferson, Ohio. That is Saturday, June 8th at 7 a.m. Ooh, get up at the crack of dawn for that one. It's worth it. The webinar, Stance Control Braces, is June 8th. That sounds interesting. 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. They got that scheduled for an hour. June 9th, New York City chapter launch and member meeting. Woohoo! That's awesome. Community room in New York, New York, Sunday, June 9th, 3 to 5 p.m. June 9th as well, I'm going to have a virtual Milwaukee chapter meeting at 8 p.m. They have it scheduled for an hour, but, you know, I got no limits, you know. So if you want to join me for that, I'll actually be in the same kind of space. The face-to-face meetings are tough for us, I think, here in Milwaukee, because in the Milwaukee area, or Wisconsin area where I am, because Wisconsin's so vast. There's some people in Madison, which is like over an hour away from here, and then way up towards the UP, there's people I know that deal with FSHD. So I decided to go virtual here in June and see if we can do it that way. So we'll talk about the rest of the things going on in the FSH Society after our featured guest. Hopefully June can join us and talk a little bit about those things. So, yeah. So why don't we take our first break, and when we come back, we're going to bring in our featured guest tonight, and that is Sue Allmiller from Columbus, Ohio, the FSH chapter. She's the chapter director there. Talk about her walk and roles and her FSH story and so much more. And how do we turn our lemons into lemonade? Yeah, all that and more on the FSH Society Radio Show.
FSHD is one of the most common forms of muscular dystrophy. It's a degenerative disease that weakens muscles in the face, shoulders, upper back, and legs. FSHD robs you of your smile and makes simple tasks nearly impossible to perform. FSHD affects hundreds of thousands of people, but most have never met another patient. Many have not even been diagnosed. Someone you know may be living with FSHD. Let them know they are not alone and that we're making real advances toward a treatment. You can help by going to our website, fshsociety.org/cureFSHD, and share the photos and facts about the disease using the hashtag CureFSHD. By simply raising awareness, you could change someone's life and help us get closer to a cure.
Hey, welcome back to the show, FSH Society Radio Show. Here we are, another Wednesday, where we're all gathered together on Facebook Live. And we're going to bring in our featured guest here. Her name is Sue Allmiller. She's out of Columbus, Ohio, and we welcome her now. Hello, Sue, are you there?
I am.
Beautiful. You're coming through loud and clear. Thanks for joining us today, Sue. I really appreciate you staying up late a little bit with us and talking a little bit about yourself. And that's kind of, I guess, where my first questions always seem to go. You know, I always want people to get really invested in who is this person? You know, why are they on the show? And I'm excited that you're here. So why don't we start there, Sue? Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Okay. Well, first of all, thanks for having me, Tim. And basically, I've lived in Columbus, Ohio my whole life and have been married to my husband for 40 years. We raised our two sons here, Dan and Bill, and we're in a very active community. We just do a lot of hiking, biking, backpacking, just super active. As a family, we've always been blessed with health, and I was just thinking recently, I'm still kind of in shock over all this just because, you know, none of us even take so much of it as an aspirin. So, to hear that, you know, you've got a rare disease and for which there is no cure, like you said earlier, is kind of a shock and tough to swallow. But, I'm a regular person out here doing. I used to do bike rides. I've done bike rides for multiple sclerosis, 150-mile rides, and 100-mile ride for leukemia and lymphoma. So real active in the bicycle community. Mm-hmm. And so, like I said, our bucket list is to visit all 50 national parks, and we've knocked off 30 of them.
Oh, wow. That's insane.
20
that's
to
awesome.
Go.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah.
That is a great goal. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is.
Tell us, though, you kind of hinted about the, you know, how FSHD kind of crept into your lives, right? You said that everybody was very, you know, healthy. It sounds like everyone's active and kind of moving along life. I don't want to say cruise control. You know, obviously everybody's got their bumps in the road here and there. But
this
is kind of a big bump. Can you? It's a huge one. Yeah. Can you reflect a little bit back on that? You know, how long ago was the diagnosis given, and who did it affect all in the family?
Well, we were on my husband's retirement trip, 3 weeks and 8 national parks, and on our way home from that, and the very last stop at a hotel, I called the kids and said, you know, we're at the hotel, we'll be home tomorrow, all is well. And something, when I talked to Bill, he lives in Colorado with his wife, Jamie, and our granddaughter, Lucy, at that time. I could just tell something in his voice, but he didn't want to say anything because we were still traveling. Mm-hmm. And I just had an intuition something was wrong, and I got it out of him. And he said, Mom, I've been diagnosed with this disease, FSHD, and they tell me there's nothing I can do for it. Mm. And honestly, Tim, I was in absolute shock. Mm-hmm. It's like, you talk, my dad's real involved with the veterans and PTSD, and I have a good friend with PTSD. And I think, I feel like I've experienced that. Just the shock, and I'm still in shock, honestly. Yeah. It's only been a year and a half. And so we went home and went back out to Bill's and tried to form a game plan for him. And then it wasn't a month later that my husband, because of Bill and his diagnosis, on our way home from Colorado, we thought, well, what about your frozen shoulder and encapsulated shoulder and the things with your leg and going on with you? He's been going to a occupational therapist and physical therapist and for 8 years. And we went back to that doctor and said, our son was just diagnosed with FSHD. Could Bob have it? And he did a muscle test on Bob and said, yes.
Wow.
So, you know, it was just crazy, honestly. I mean, it answered a lot of questions,
mm-hmm. Sure.
But it just was a lot to take in.
Now, Bill is your son. So Bill, how old was he when he was diagnosed? That he said it was about a year and a half ago.
Yeah, he was 36.
36.
And he had literally been going to a physical therapist. He's 6'4" and was playing basketball in high school. And friends of his that I ran into shortly thereafter said, oh my gosh, I remember Bill. He always was having to go to the physical therapist after basketball. And that was when he was 15.
Wow.
You know, and so for 20 years, we have just gone to various doctors and asked and inquired, and 20 years went by, and it just so happened he was in, when they moved to Colorado, he went to a new primary care doctor, and she took one look at him and said, Bill, you need to see a neurologist. And so that was the beginning. And
so what do you
fortunately
think? Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, fortunately, she was savvy enough, I think young enough and savvy enough to still have remembered that chapter or paragraph in med school. So, I don't know.
What was the physical things you think that doctor saw? Was it, you know, shoulder blade winging or something? I mean,
shoulder blades, okay. For him.
Yeah.
His shoulders are, you know, bent in and the blade sticking out a little bit. And so that was the primary trigger her to see that.
And did he complain then about, obviously he had soreness or other muscle issues after basketball, probably chalked it up to the fact that he was playing. He was working hard.
Yeah.
Tall guy running up and down the court. Things happen. But it was more than that. So obviously he was, unbeknownst to him, he was struggling with it even then.
Yeah. And my husband, too, it had been about 20 years since he had already always been a runner. He was on the cross country and track team in high school, and his whole group of friends still run. And at 40, he said to me, you know, I just can't run anymore. I don't know why. And just for an unknown reason, he just couldn't run. And it was just bizarre because it was just part of his life.
Yeah.
So, you know, you reflect back on these things and think, gosh, there were a lot of little indications, but we just, you know, weren't the wiser back then. Mm. And that's why I'm so intent on the advocacy and building awareness, because every time I read, oh, 1 in 8,000 or 1 in 12,000 have FSHD, well, just think of all these people who are just undiagnosed.
Right. Absolutely. And yeah.
So, you know, I always read that with skepticism. And so my goal was to learn everything about FSHD, of course, mm-hmm. and then call the FSH Society and say, what can I do?
Right.
So
you decided when this bad news hit, because it sounded like it came in close proximity, you said, of each other. First, Bill, your son, and then your husband, Bob, is diagnosed. So that's like a quick 1-2 punch. And most people,
yeah.
it would probably knock them down a little bit. And I don't know if they'd want to get
right.
up. And you decided to brush yourself off and go, wait a minute, what can I do? Did you feel like you were in a little bit of a, I don't know, I'm going to kind of speak for you here, though. Almost like FSH was like its own thing, and it's attacking your family, and you decided to put the gloves on.
Yeah, I definitely put the gloves on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just wanted to, everything I read and as I spoke to Mark Stone and mm-hmm. Beth Johnston, and, you know, just so much exciting things were happening with the discovery of the gene causing it. And then we were introduced to Scott Harper and taking a tour of his lab. They just rolled out the red carpet for us, and just learning everything that is coming down the pike. I couldn't not put the gloves on.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just tell your story and people listen, and they're concerned and they care, and you just start working. Mm. And literally, it's been like a full-time job. I feel like
yeah.
I can never stop thinking about ways to get people involved and bring people together and tell about FSH. I'm never not without information, or my little walk and roll postcard for this year to just hand it to someone and say, can I tell you about this?
Right.
And, you know, I've never met anyone who's heard about it. And so it's just provided a great opportunity to get the word out there.
You're listening to the FSH Society Radio Show. We're here talking with Sue Amiller from Columbus, Ohio. Her son, Bill, was diagnosed about a year and a half ago, and then soon after, her husband, Bob. And we're talking about, you know, how do you deal with that, and how do you cope? And Sue decided, hey, I'm putting the gloves on, and I'm gonna step up and fight this thing. You know, the show was advertised on the FSH Society website, Sue, as, you know, lemonade recipes.
You know,
kind of turning that, you know, lemons into lemonade philosophy. Is that something that you really live by?
I do. And I can tell you some lemons that we've turned into lemonade that I'd like to just talk about.
Absolutely.
And encourage other people to do the same.
Please. Yeah.
For
absolutely.
Example, for example, the walk and roll, that was just a daunting task to me. I just couldn't even believe doing that. But with support from friends and family and people, we happen to be lucky in that we have a lot of friends who participate in 5Ks and runs and mm-hmm. bike rides and stuff. We've been to a lot of events, right. including Bob and I. And so we know what we want to have there when we get there. And so I think that helped us have a leg up. And if somebody is considering doing a walk and roll, I start attending as many of those kind of events mm-hmm. as you can, as you see them in your communities, because they're everywhere.
Yeah, they are.
And I notice now we have 10 walk and rolls, which
wow.
is just incredible and exciting. And so that just provides such an opportunity for the community to get around it and get involved and teams to form and raising money. You know, and then there's the Columbus chapter. I was very excited to be able to start that. We kicked it off at the Harper Lab. Scott spoke, and we've had speakers such as the physical therapist from Ohio State and the neurologist there from Ohio State, and Mark Stone's our next speaker, and the education there. But really, just bringing people together and telling our stories. I want to encourage everyone who's listening to contact the FSH Society and make sure they have all of your contact information and make sure they have your history, because we're trying to collect more history of, you know, did your parent have it or a sibling and all that. And also make sure they have all your friends, if you have friends or people who live out of town who really haven't gotten involved, just encourage them to call the FSH Society and give them all the information that they need. It's just basic stuff, really. So I want to encourage everyone to do that. And if you're not someone who is up to the task of forming and implementing a walk and roll, I totally understand that. But that doesn't mean you can't just go on the FSH Society website and find one that is appealing to you and sign up and register. Mm-hmm. Register, form a team. You can do it virtually. Just form a team and ask your friends, neighbors, coworkers. It's all about getting money to the researchers and getting money to the FSH Society. Just to give you an example, I was talking to Scott Harper today, and it takes so much time of his to write grants, and this year he's written 6 grants. It takes years to develop the grant and writing the grant, and, you know, it's daunting. And if the FSH Society was blessed with donations pouring in, you know, these researchers all over the world who are requesting grant money from the FSH Society, it would be there. And maybe they wouldn't even have to write the grant. They could just call, you know, in a perfect world.
Yeah.
I just want the FSH Society to have as much money as they need to give to the most deserving people. Mm-hmm. And because the treatments and therapies will get to us so much quicker.
Oh, absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Yeah.
You're right, because that's exactly what Mark Stone has been preaching and spreading the word about, as long as, you know, I've known him and met him, is that, you know, we have this goal of 2025. It is there. There is treatment. We have to get it across this bridge. You know, that's kind of the visualization he's kind of using. And he's like, we have it in this truck. We need to get it across the bridge. We need to get it there. How do we bridge that gap?
Exactly.
It's money. Okay, so how do we do that?
Right.
Let's do these walk and roll events. Let's get the words out this way and that way. Let's network. And we have to be one loud voice, you know, is what he said, where we cannot be denied. So it's very empowering what he says, and it's not that hard to answer that call of what he's talking about. It really isn't. You're right. I mean, here in our little Milwaukee area, you know, I've kind of piggybacked on Dave Lucas's Chicago chapter with their walk and roll and trying to start a, you know, Milwaukee, you know, chapter walk team. We're too small at this point. We're still in our growth stages to try to get help and aid and whatnot to create our own walk and roll event. But that doesn't mean we're not going to participate. And since they're the closest thing we can get to, I mean, I'm even willing, if I get enough people, I'm like, I will rent a bus and we will all pile in and we will drive
down
to Chicago and let's go. Yeah, absolutely. bunch of crazy Wisconsinites heading down to Chicago. That's all Illinois needs. And just having a good time and, you know, raising some money. Yeah, it would be great. So, you know, let's turn it into something positive. This is crappy news, you know. What else are you going to do?
I think what people that I talk to say, well, you know, I feel funny asking people for money. And one thing I always say is your friends and your family and people who love you are just as frustrated as you are that there's nothing they can do.
Right.
And when you provide an opportunity to them to say, you know, there's this event and I'm trying to be the biggest fundraiser for my team. Mm-hmm. And I really wondered if you would be interested in donating. They would jump at the chance to finally be able to do something because they have felt as helpless as you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you kind of have to turn it around and think, really, they welcome you asking them. Mm-hmm. And they're like, absolutely, you know, we've been wondering what we could do. And just show me where the link is. Show me how to sign up.
Right.
So it kind of helps alleviate, when you turn it around, it kind of helps alleviate the fear in asking. And the more you ask, the easier it gets. Mm-hmm. Just, and it doesn't have to be a lot. I mean, you know, just $20 or $25. Just, it makes all of us feel good.
Absolutely. Because this whole thing is going to take a large push. And, you know, that's reaching out to as many people as you can, or companies, or you know, wherever. The checks don't have to be big. You know, it just has to be as many as we can get, and any size will do. And But then it also starts with awareness. You know, well, what is this? And how does it affect me? Because I can tell you, that cynical kind of, I guess I'll donate something kind of guy before. And I know everybody had some issue or problem. And then when I got diagnosed, you know, with something like, wait a minute. Well, if I got diagnosed with this, like, I knew people were struggling with things, but it definitely opened my eyes to a lot of stuff. But what it needed to open my eyes is to advocate, educate. Very close, you know. Okay, I'm going to tell you what it is, and I'm going to tell you everything about it and this and that. And you do want to kind of play on the downtrodden of it a little. I mean, let's face it, it does help raise money. Like, this is affecting people in a negative way. This doesn't make people feel real happy, you know. So, you know, shortens lives, and this is something we have to stop, and it's not being recognized. We need to wave our flags really big and as much as possible. And I'm with you, Sue. I mean, when I was diagnosed, man, I sat in my car for those couple minutes. I went to the doctors alone, and you know, my wife's like, oh, you want me to go? No, I'm sure it'll be no big deal. And turns out it was. And I thought, all right, I sat in the car and I thought to myself, okay. And I'm a person, and people might, you know, roll their eyes like, well, of course you are. I'm a type of person that I will talk my thoughts aloud. Fine. I talk to myself once in a while, but I talked to myself and I said, okay, Tim, what are we going to do here? Are we going to hide this under the cover? Let's not talk about it. Let's just live life like it's not there, whatever. Or am I going to do something? And I kind of like thought, I'm going to, you know, am I going to kick its teeth in? You know, am I going to fight? And I need help to fight. So where do I find that? And it was very quick answer in my head. Like, well, yeah, it has to be a fight. I have to tell everybody. That's how this is going to start. And that's how it did start. And there was tears, and there was definitely people upset and sad and this and that. But I guess I mean, there's moments where I am. But there's, I do that alone. When I'm with people that are fighting with me, I have to be stronger than them. That's the way I see it. So if it bothers them, it can't bother me. You know, I coach youth baseball, and there are some kids that know that coach has this. They don't totally wrap their heads around it. They're only 10 of what it is, you know. I had a very special player named Ryan Bindle that raised a lot of money on our behalf, and I say our for the FSH Society, like $6,000. And he did it through a school event, and it blew my mind. But that would not have happened if I didn't say something. You know, put myself out there, be vulnerable. Yes, I have this, you know. And I really give someone like you, you know, a ton of credit because, you know, you could, you, not that it doesn't affect you. I don't want it to sound that way. But yeah, it affects your son. It affects your husband. So of course it affects you. I tell my wife all the time, it's like, she might as well have it. You know, she's right in the trench with me. So, you know, she sees it all. She knows it all. She sees the struggle, understands it 100%. And I'm sure you are the same exact way. And, you know, but it is a little easier, I think, for some people when there's like, you know, that, well, you know, I can help you, but I can, I guess I'll kind of be here. I mean, you're all in, Sue. I mean, you are all in, you know, and I think that is just something to be praised and followed, if you ask me.
Well, I also want to really put a plug in for raising your hand and volunteering for clinical trials.
Absolutely.
You know, there is so much exciting stuff going on in the FSHD world, and clinical trials are imperative to get the drugs and the therapies that we're all looking for, and they can't do it without volunteers. And I know I've read a lot that the FSHD community is great at volunteering, but I'm sure they could always use more.
Oh, absolutely.
And so please consider that, and be sure to all the listeners, if you're kind of sitting back and doing your own thing and kind of don't want to think about the FSH, still contact the FSH Society and get involved somehow. Whether another thing I love to do is write articles and submit them to the, you know, advocacy newsletter. And June is incredible. I can't tell you how many people that get that newsletter call me and say, this is the most well-written, informative, nonprofit newsletter I have ever read, and I read it from cover to cover. And they'll say, you know, most things I contribute to, I'll just kind of glance at it and toss it, but I get excited to get this newsletter.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so people, you can also contribute and become involved just by submitting a story or, you know, telling about an experience. And, you know, we all love to hear your stories. So that's another way just to really contribute.
Absolutely. Not to stay, not to stay silent when you're courageous enough to finally say something. And I get it. Some people don't want to right away.
Right.
They even use the term coming out. You know, oh, I finally came out to my family and told them I had this disease, you know. And I give them credit for that. And you have to do it when you're ready. You know, sometimes I think you don't want to wrap your head around it quite yet. So you're not ready to come out with it because it does change things. Maybe a little bit is my own paranoia, but I remember telling my family, and then it was like that next Christmas, then when the next layer of family knows, you know, so it was only like about a month later, and the whole room was different. You know, my parents acted different. So then that caused the questions, what's the matter? Then they all look at me. I'm like, okay, I guess I got to say something, you know, and Merry Christmas, everyone. I have this. And Santa got me FSHD this year. So, you know, I just was like, okay, so this is what it is, you know. And once again, it was an uncomfortable situation because it was heavy on my parents' minds. And then, of course, I tell these people, but I made the choice to say something. And that's my reflex to kind of half-heartedly, you know, scoff at it. You know, FSHD in my mind is like a separate being. It is just, it is something that I have to fight against. And for me, my coping mechanism is it's its own thing. It's not really a part of me. You know, it's just a traveler. Right. It's just a companion. And he's just a crappy neighbor. And it's like, fine, you're going to be here. Find the pains there, the soreness, the limitations, da-da-da-da-da. But my point was that, you know, things kind of change when people come out and say something. My hugs that Christmas were a little softer. Oh, we don't want to break Tim, you know. And that's fine.
Yeah.
Everybody's got to deal with things like this in their own way. You know, and I know that it comes from a positive place, from what I can tell. And everybody reacts to bad news differently, you know, but it does. It changes the whole dynamic. So I get why people don't always come racing out to say something, and they have to do that in their own time.
Right.
But the fact that, yeah, you're talking to Scott Harper all the time and working with their labs and you're getting the word out and working with FSH Society so closely. Now, I wanted to ask about your first walk and roll event and what that was like. You know, take us maybe to the day of the event. You know, you wake up, you're having breakfast, Sue, you're ready to go out there, right? And
I'm waking up having breakfast.
You're waking up, right? You're all set, ready to go, right?
I'm waking up, hustling to make coffee, put it in thermoses, and get the heck over there. It was like 2 hours before we're even allowed to be there.
Nice.
Pitch black, and we're using our phones for flashlights.
Really?
But yeah, it was funny. But we just wanted to, you know, get there and be on top of it.
Absolutely,
but
I'd be the same way. So what was that like? Was it anxious?
It was
exciting?
So much fun. It was so nerve-wracking, but fun. And just to watch all my committee, just I didn't have to say anything. You know, everybody was doing what they were supposed to be doing, hanging signs and getting tables set up and registration set up and food. We had tons of just so much food that was volunteered from various businesses, and just everybody was just like doing their thing. And then volunteers started pouring in and, you know, just assigning them their tasks and marking the trail and getting the flags and start line set up and the bounce house and all that stuff. It was just, it just came together, and we were fortunate. The weather was perfect. It was like 75 degrees, not a cloud in the sky, and it was so perfect.
Great.
So that was a gift. And the weather we've been having in Ohio lately is, you know, hopefully we won't have a tornado.
Right.
But it all came together, and it was just so exciting. It was so exciting to see. And I literally was kind of so blessed with people who were so competent because I truly, Tim, I was literally in a kind of a fog.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
You know, I just kept putting one foot in front of the other and just doing it.
Right.
But
I'd imagine it was overwhelming. I mean, that's a lot of planning.
Yeah.
And then when it all kind of hits at one time and things just line up, you're right. There's a lot of trust in the people that you asked for help.
And, yeah.
They step up. Yeah.
And they step up and they do it. And it's just amazing. And I can't thank them enough.
Yeah.
But I would encourage anybody to do it if you've got people around you that you can depend on. It's not something you do alone. The FSH Society and Beth Johnston and Anna. And now Becca, I mean, they just literally lead you by the hand.
Yeah.
So with a group in your own community that you can depend on, and Beth and Anna and now Becca, you're going to have an event.
Yeah.
And whether 10 people show up or 50 people or 100 people, it's a start.
It's happening. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a happening thing.
Yeah.
So, and people ask about it, and you just want to do it. You just want to do it, have it, and bring everybody together. And I just encourage everybody to, if you're just on the fence, talk to someone who's done it. Call them, talk to them, and we all just help each other. No one of us does this alone. And it takes everybody working together. And you can do it.
Now, when's your next chapter event? Is it another walk and roll coming up? Is it a meeting? Do you know what's on your
Our next calendar? Columbus chapter meeting is July 14th, Sunday.
Okay.
From 1 to 3, it's going to be held at the Harper Lab.
Okay,
Mark Stone is speaking, and it's going to be awesome because we're going to hear all the most current, up-to-date, exciting information on what is happening in the FSHD world, and you know, all about the new clinical trials and things that are the results of those. And my husband is in two clinical trials. I'm very proud of him for that. So if that's going to be great. And then our walk and roll will be September 14th in the morning from 8 to 11. And that's going to be fantastic.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
Sounds like good things coming. Good things coming.
Good things happening.
What I got a final question for you. And I like to ask this one, especially for someone such as yourself on the front lines of this, is in a way you've kind of answered it throughout, but I guess to kind of summarize it, what advice do you give someone that has maybe just been diagnosed, you know, recent, you know, weeks, a couple of days, they come onto this you know, Facebook Live event and they hear you speak? If you could talk to them, what would you tell them?
I would say you're not alone, and there are a lot of people out there that care about you and you don't even know it. And call Beth Johnston, because she was my lifeline at the beginning. It makes me cry just thinking about it. She was just amazing and still is, Beth. And you are not alone. And this has been, like you said at the beginning, kind of a blessing. If you look at the bright side, which I do, and making the lemon, turning lemons into lemonade, the people I have met have just been incredible. I just can't imagine not knowing everybody I've met along the way through this journey. And I'm just very blessed to be a part of it and be able to contribute in some small way. And I would encourage that person to call Beth or call me.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I would be happy to talk to them. And, or find someone, call me, and I can hook you up with people in our chapter who are open to talking to people. Yeah. Who have been newly diagnosed, who have it, or my husband, or, you know, you're not alone. That's what I would say.
That's beautiful. Well said. Well, thanks, Sue, for joining us, sharing your story. Inspiration to us all. I definitely appreciate your time tonight and coming on. It's been great.
Thank you, Tim. I appreciate it so much.
Absolutely.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Anytime. Anytime, as you know. Take care.
Yep. Thank you. You too.
That's Sue Allmiller, right? She is, I guess you could use hero in my mind. Sorry. That's the word I'm dropping. Because she has stepped up only a year and a half after this news hits the family. You know, what do you do? She quickly found out what to do and how to do it and how to get action and how to go after it and get it done and successful walk and rolls and all these things. And it's awesome. It's awesome. All right. I think we're going to invite in our next guest right away because we're going to keep the momentum going here. We're going to invite in June Kinoshita, because we talked about her, right, on that interview with Sue. And I believe June is on the line right now. June, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear. Hey, thanks for joining us and taking the time out. I know you're a busy lady doing a lot of stuff and staying up late with us also. So thank you. Thank you for that.
Well, this is my Facebook time, so my guilty pleasure.
So you'd normally be on Facebook anyway. So, okay, that's great. Good. So our timing is good. So tell us.
That was wonderful. And I,
yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was blushing about the lovely words that Sue was saying about the FSHD advocate. And I, you know, first of all, it's not just me. Many people contribute to it. And we have a lot of talented writers in the FSHD community, and my door is always open. I love getting contributions from people. So, in fact, someone who has contributed in the past is going to be your guest next month, right? Belinda.
Correct.
Miller, the wonderful author.
So. Yes, yes, she is. Yeah, she's going to be on the June show. It's our, we had like three in a row here of the later start time for the FSH Society radio show. So June 26th, it'll be 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. East. Facebook Live again. Yep. We're going to have Belinda Miller on and talking about her works as an author. She was diagnosed at the age of 22 with FSHD. So I think we're going to have a lot of fun talking with her as well. She's been extremely generous, too. She's even sending me her book. So I'm going to do a little research on her here and talk a little bit about what she's written about. And yeah, I think it's going to be great. I love bringing in all those people from all different walks of life and all different things. You know, like when we had Ben Livingston on, you know, a couple of shows back and just telling their stories. And it's a well-rounded, awesome, you know, community. And a lot of people have this, you know, shared common thing that is FSHD, but their stories are unique, you know, and it's fun to bring that all together.
Absolutely. So I wanted to just, you know, share a few exciting things that are coming up.
Yes,
and,
please do.
And also a few things we've posted on our blog recently that I'd love people to be aware of in case they haven't seen them. So let's start with some recent posts on the blog. One that I was really pleased to put up was some advice about people who have been refused coverage, insurance coverage, Medicare coverage for ongoing maintenance physical therapy. And that's a big deal because I think anyone who's been paying attention knows that, you know, physical therapy and exercise are very important for maintaining, you know, your optimal, you know, your best health, your best self when you have FSHD. And in the past, the sort of insurance companies who are kind of taking the lead from Medicare have had this policy that if you're not improving under physical therapy, then it's discontinued. The idea is it's not benefiting you. And a few years ago, that notion was challenged because there were people saying, and not just with FSHD, but a lot of different conditions, that physical therapy is important to prevent decline and to maintain yourself at a certain level of function. And so there was a challenge to this sort of Medicare law, and eventually it was changed so that if the physical therapist deems that physical therapy is necessary for you to maintain where you are, the strength you are at, or to prevent you from declining faster than you would, you know, if you had a good physical therapy program, then it would be covered. And a lot of physical therapists out there actually aren't aware of this change, and they may say, you know, I'm sorry, we can't continue, et cetera. This happens a lot, shockingly. And so there's some guidance that we posted on our blog about how this is not the case anymore. And there's a downloadable guide you can give to your physical therapist if they're not aware of this change. And so I wanted people to be aware of that because I hear all too often from patients saying, what am I going to do because I can't continue getting physical therapy? So that's something I just wanted to make sure people were aware of. And the other, we had a great webinar last week with Dr. Samantha LaRusso from Ohio State. She's relatively new to the FSHD community. She joined the Ohio State 2 years ago and has taken over as the principal investigator for their FSHD research unit. And she was terrific. She I said, basically, we need an FSHD 101. There are people out there who've just been diagnosed, they have no idea what's going on. Or they were diagnosed a few years ago, and they still don't know what's going on with this condition because it's so confusing. And nobody can explain, you know, the genetics in a nutshell and all the different things. So I said, can you just make it really simple? You know, FSHD 101 for newbies, you know, and people who aren't newbies but still find it confusing, which is probably a majority of people. So she did a great job. It's now up on our YouTube channel, and we have a blog post about it too. So I think it's a lot of people to be aware of that as well. I think coming tomorrow, there's a story. I don't know if and some of you heard about 2 or 3 weeks ago, we got a surprise donation of $50,000.
Wow.
From a foundation called the Red Songbird. And it was inspired by Annie Blake, who's, she has FSHD, she lives in England.
Mm-hmm.
And she's close friends with a woman named Hillary Roberts, who had a very difficult life, abandoned a career in music because of all the troubles, all the things that had happened to her. And Annie really just told her not to give up, and that she had, you know, she had to go back. She had to try to be a singer because that was her dream.
Wow.
And so Hillary did that. And then Annie was diagnosed with FSHD a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And she came to the FSHD Connect conference last year. She applied for and received a scholarship, she and her husband. And it was it's for many people, a life-changing experience. And I think, Hillary wanted to do something for Annie and had a big event out in Hollywood and presented this donation of $50,000 out of the blue, which is an amazing story. So we had a little blog post about that, and then even more amazing, Hillary wrote a song for Annie, and there's a video that tells a story about how she was inspired to write this song about her own troubles and how her friend boosted her and kind of gave her the will to go ahead with her dream.
Wow.
And so it's beautiful, and it's going to be posted I think tomorrow morning on our website.
Okay.
So go look at it. It's a real, and bring some hankies. It's very,
yeah. Yeah, it sounds like it. It sounds very emotional.
Yeah. And then coming up, I think on Saturday, I think it's June 8th, we have our next webinar about something called a stance control break.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of folks have heard about, you know, it's called an ankle-foot orthotic, which is to support your foot when, you know, the muscle in the front of your shin gets weak and, you know, can't keep your feet up. There are other braces that actually support the leg more fully up above the knee and can help tremendously with walking. And a lot of orthotists and physical therapists and so on aren't that familiar with it. And we have patient, actually, Kathy Senecal, who's the director of the Connecticut chapter. She uses a stance control brace and loves it, said it was really made a huge difference for her. And when she realized that even, you know, some of our experts in the field weren't familiar with it, said, okay, we've got to have a webinar on this.
Right.
So I think it'll be very interesting. I hope a lot of people register for that. It's both posted on our event calendar, and it's going to be on a Saturday afternoon. And try doing it on a weekend to see if that makes it easier for people to tune in. And we do record all our webinars, so they're available on YouTube, but the live one is really special because you can ask people questions in real time there. And,
nice.
So anyway, I'm going to shut up now.
Don't say that. That's mean-spirited. No, no, no. You're obviously June. I mean, you're a huge, you know, cog in the wheel here. I mean, you help us so much, and this show especially, bring in news and things that, you know, that I don't want it to go past the radar here. So you got to make sure that everybody's aware of what's going on in the FSH Society world. And, of course, yeah, you can always check it out at fshsociety.org. Is always great spot, you know, obviously. But to hear it from you, June, is a lot more fun. So we appreciate you stopping in and letting us know.
Thank you. Well, and big shout out to you. Thank you so much for everything you do and with this radio show and with the Milwaukee chapter. I'm going to make a plug for you. If you're in the Milwaukee area or you know somebody who is, please let them know about the Milwaukee chapter and meetings that Tim will be organizing.
Absolutely. Get them over here. Yeah. Call me. Thanks, June. You take care.
Okay. You too. Good night. Good night, everybody.
So that's June Kinoshita helping us out, right? Getting us all the news, notes. I don't think that she missed anything there. Yeah. I was glad that we had her in. To talk a little bit about, you know, what's going on in the FSH Society world. And, you know, it's always fun for me to come on air and do this on Facebook Live with you all. I love it. I'm not going to lie. Selfishly, it's something I really look forward to and because I love doing it. And so I hope that in the days to come, you find that special thing that you love to do and you capitalize and do it as often as you can. That would be, you know, your sweet spot, as I said earlier in the show, and live that dream. So thanks guys for being here. I can't wait for the next show next month. We will be here at it again. That is the FSH Society Radio Show with Belinda Miller. She's an author sharing her FSH story and so many more things. You can check her out on Facebook, Belinda Miller. She is out there right now. She's on the show right now. She's chiming in right now on Facebook Live. So, you know, click her Facebook page, check out her books, Philip's Quest and the Ragwort Chronicles. Those are her books out there. Plug away on that. Find her on Google, follow her on Facebook now, and we're going to have her on the show next month. So thank you again, all. If you want to contact me directly, you can at fshradiohost@gmail.com. I will always accept your emails and correspond with you if you'd like. I'd love to do it that way and just connect off air is always fine. So until next month, y'all take care. We will see you. This has been the FSH Society Radio Show. Take care.